I've really been missing you guys, and just so excited to what God's doing. And I just want to pray before I start. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, this morning, God, that we can be together in your presence, Father. We thank you, Father, with the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, Father God. And I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. Thank you for what you're doing in this church, God. I thank you, Lord, that you are at the center. We just want to declare that this morning, Lord, that you are at the center of this church. And we just long for more of you, Lord. When I pray, Lord, that you will come and speak through me, God. Lord, come and strengthen people here this morning, Father. We thank you that we can come as we are this morning. Because we are accepted that you love us, Father. And you call us sons and daughters. And I just worship you and thank you for the great privilege of being together in your presence, Jesus. Amen. So we have had a wonderful time in the States. Some of you know myself and my family. We've been there for 6 weeks where we had the privilege to meet with our Every Nation churches and meet with some of our partners, people that support us, people that pray for us here, pray for you as a church and individuals. And so there's our family. We are still, some of us have grown up a little bit. We had a bit of a bumpy start to our time over there. As we arrived there in the first 2 weeks, Michaela and Joshua had chicken pox. So that was not fun, okay? So both of them at the same time. And then, you know, myself and Andrew, we had a bit of a throat infection. And so it was a bit of a slow start. But hey, it got better from there. And I was grateful for that. And so I bring you greetings from our Every Nation churches in Nashville and Memphis and Orlando and Indianapolis. And they send their love. And isn't it wonderful that we as Every Nation are part of a global family? That we are not an island on an island in Ireland. I've said this before. We have relationship. And I'm so thankful for relationship that we will not do this church plant journey without any relationships and people that is praying for us and supporting us in this journey. So, guys, I've got a word for you this morning that I want to share. And I'm also going to just be sharing a little few things and testimonies of what God's been has done on this journey. You know, as we went, before we went to the States, you know, we just committed the time to God and really just prayed, said, Lord, we ask you for divine appointments. We pray that this trip will be better than ever before. And, you know, certainly God did not disappoint. You know, there were some incredible divine appointments that we've had with people. And so one of the words that God gave me was belong. And that's what I want to share with you. I'm going to share a few truths that I believe God wants us to receive, not just in our minds, but really in our hearts. You know, I just saw this word belong tattooed on our heart. And that's what God wants to do with individuals. As I was going through the States, I met a lot of people. And, you know, one of my friends in Evansville, he's a chaplain in the police department. And so I just got this text one night and he said to me, Johan, do you want to go on a ride with us in this, with the police department in a police car? You know, so I didn't hesitate. I said, absolutely. I would love to do that. And so as we went in this police car, I was sitting at the back and I remember my friend was in the front and we actually arrested a guy there in Evansville. And so guess where he had to sit? He had to sit right next to me. You know, so, you know, he's handcuffed. And so the one police officer said, that I'm also going to jail. So he just made a joke and I just kind of played along. And, but anyway, as we arrived at the police station, he realized, you know, the police officer was just making a bit of a joke there. But friends, what I realized there, as we went to the prison, that I saw a lot of people imprisoned. I saw a lot of orphans. I saw a lot of people that didn't know their identity. You know, I had conversations with some of these people that you realize that they do not know who they are. You know, there's a fatherless generation. People that have not received any affirmation or did not have a relationship with their fathers. And, you know, I've asked the question. I said, where have your daddy been over, you know, since you were born? He said, my daddy left me when I was very, very young. And so he never had a relationship with his father. And so this is the area that I just felt God wanted me to speak in. And so this has been a bit of a theme over the last several weeks. And as I come back to this city, I continue to see orphans. It's not just orphans in the States. It's everywhere. It's in Belfast. And I feel like the Father God just wants to reveal to people their true identity. And I believe that all of us, God has put in us a desire. We were created. We were all created with a desire to belong. It's just a desire that we all have. I mean, I remember growing up, you know, I always wanted to have, you know, that brand that, you know, I wanted to belong. I mean, being part and doing sports as a sportsman, I wanted to belong to a team. I remember going to that board where the names for the 15 rugby team, and you go to that board and you just hope that you are in that team for Saturday. And so sometimes when you're not selected, there's that feeling of rejection. But I know that God has put in all of us that desire to belong, to be part of. That's who He created us to be. Even in the beginning, in creation, His desire was in the garden for us to have a relationship with Him. Adam and Eve never questioned, they never wondered, do I belong? They never, and then there came a point. As we read here in scripture in Genesis 3, 7 to 11, it says here in verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig trees together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So there was a moment they felt belong. They were in perfect unity with the Father in that garden. They didn't wonder, "Do I belong?" That they had that sense of belonging. And then there was a crime that was committed in the garden. And suddenly they went from feeling a sense of belonging to feeling alienated, feeling separated. And that is what the effect of sin has in our lives. There's a separation that takes place. It's not that God separates him from us. It's simply where that guilt and that shame, where they actually hid themselves. They made these fig leaves and they start covering themselves up. There was shame. They did not feel that they belonged there. And friends, I know that is through my conversation with people. And some of these people in Evansville, I realize how shame and these feelings of guilt have separated them, not just from their own families, but from God. Some of them know God. I remember just going into McDonald's and, you know, when God says go to McDonald's, you go to McDonald's. Okay. It's actually my family made that decision, but I just went with the flow, you know, I didn't. But, you know, I was sitting there and, he was a gentleman in his mid-50s and he was crying. And then I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to go over to him and I introduced myself, and he said, you know, my name is Eddie James. I said, Eddie, I was just sitting there and I really felt God wanted me to come and speak to you. How is things going? How's things going for you? And he said, you know what? I've been going through a very tough season in my life. You know, and he explained that, you know, he was married, his wife just, well, he's still married, but his wife, he's just separated from his wife because he got caught up in drugs and his family has rejected him. There's a moment where he explained that where he felt, you know, he belonged, you know, he was part of this family and his daughter, he was just boasting about his daughter, you know, is the number one basketball player in the university just down the road. And he was sharing with me how he's been in and out of prison. And so I started just to share with him about belonging, about the love of God. And he, you know, he knew scripture and he said it is so difficult. You know, he just hears these voices saying, you know, you're just nobody. And, you know, he felt so condemned so guilty of the things that he's done in his life. That he's been in and out of prison 5 times. And so I just started to share with him and I said, have you invited Jesus into your life? And he said, you know, many, many years ago, I said, well, I believe God has not forsaken you. That's his promise. He's not given up on you. But I said to him, Eddie, will you make this decision? Would you rededicate, recommit your life to God? And I explained to him what a relationship with Jesus is all about. Friends, it was amazing that in that moment, I had the privilege to pray with Eddie. There was a moment where, you know, he started to pray and just started to thank God for that moment, for being mindful of him, that he would send somebody from Northern Ireland to come to speak to him. And the crazy thing is there was, you know, quite a religious group of a Christian church, I don't know exactly, but, you know, they had hats on and they were just making a noise. And, you know, one guy stood next to the table and he was shouting to his other friend across this table as I was trying to share with him the truth. Even that moment, he looked up and he said, that's the devil. There's resistance. They actually don't want me to hear what you have to say to me. And we got through that and, you know, Eddie just cried and, you know, he recommitted, you know, where he was walking around that city as an orphan. He became a son. And it's just wonderful just to share with him and encourage him to find a family to be part of, to belong. And so I believe what God is doing, friends, that he wants to reveal to people that they belong, that they are valued. I don't know how many times I've prayed and sat down with men and just saying to them over, you are valued, you are loved, you are wanted, you are needed. And Eddie said this to me, you know, he never received that from his dad. He longed for that. So there was this void inside of him that he started to fill with other things. He wanted to belong, and so he got involved with the wrong crowd. And we know that bad company corrupts good character. This is a good man. But the world started to influence him, and he started to fill this void. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, this man has made a decision. And I believe what God has started in him, he will complete. He was so excited. You know, he couldn't stop talking. And I could see in his eyes something has happened. I didn't question for one moment that God, that the Spirit of God now dwells inside of Eddie. And that this Holy Spirit is going to tell Eddie who he is. He's going to give him his true identity. He's going to tell him that he's a son because for so many years he's been hearing these lies and lies. And I believe what the enemy is doing right now, he's lying to people about their identity. He's lying to them and they're choosing to listen and to receive these lies. And these lies are being embedded in their hearts, in their soul, in their mind, it is in their emotions. It's all part of who they are. I just love how the Father comes and just washes over them And just to say to them, you're a new creation. You're not an orphan. And as I was driving through with this police officer, you know, going to this prison, I could see how many men, not just men, women in these prisons, imprisoned, bound up in lies, bound up in shame. That I can never be, I can never become. This is just who I am. They're carrying these labels with them for many, many years. They've not experienced the grace of God. And it was great to spend time with these police officers because they really love God. And my goodness, are they on a mission? You know, they take them to prison and then they have the opportunity to also share. And so I know that God is sending us into different places, not just to Albania, but in our city right here. I feel that God wants to reveal himself, and the way he's going to reveal himself to other people is through his body, through you and me. So we are great. So it's just good to be part of his mission. So I've shared this. Sin affects our relationship with God. This is the thing that's going to hinder your relationship with him. And I've seen how many people come to church and they like, it's so difficult. You know, they just feel so guilty. They always feel, you know, ashamed, just not worthy to be in God's presence. Because that's what sin does. It puts up these barriers in our lives. So this is the question I want to ask you. And I might have asked this to a couple of men as well. I said, what are you worth? If you would ask yourself that question, what are you worth? In the world, we learn how to tie our worth and value to what we do or have achieved. There's a worldly way, and there's a kingdom way, a godly way. And I feel like God is saying, do not conform to the pattern of this world. But in this world, friends, we learn how to tie our worth and value to what we do or have achieved. And if this is where God's kingdom, we discover and understand that our worth and value are wrapped up in who we are in him, not in what we do or have achieved in our lives. So it's in Christ. Earlier this year, we did a whole study in the book of Ephesians, but this is important. He wants to wrap, you know, that we need to understand our worth and value are wrapped in him, in who we are in him, not in what we do or have achieved in our lives. It's in him that he reveals to us who we are and whose we are. That's what the Holy Spirit does, is to reveal his nature. And as we receive him, it's no longer we that live, but Christ that lives in us. So when we invite this Holy Spirit into our lives, we ask this Holy Spirit to reveal to us, who is God the Father? Reveal to me who I am. What is the Father saying to me? Several people that we met, and we've had, it was one evening, we had a Holy Spirit night, which was quite amazing, because in the church that I ministered 3 years ago, they've since moved to another location. It was a Southern Baptist church. And so there's a new church that's moved in there, a real life-giving church. And I was sitting in this restaurant, and this pastor walked in. And so he introduced me to the pastor of this congregation. And so we just had this amazing conversation. And he just said to me, would you come and share about the Holy Spirit at my church? Isn't it wonderful? I've preached there in that church about 4 times in the Southern Baptist Church that invited me in there. That don't believe, you know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, and so I had the privilege to go back to this new church that has now been ministering in that church just now for that building and for just over a year and a half. And there was one night that in that evening on Sunday, you know, because I've preached at the Southern Baptist Church the previous night, and so they've invited all their friends. So a lot of them were there, and we had these different denominations there. But the one thing that I sensed in that room was hunger. Friends, they were hungry. They were hungry for more of God. A lot of them were trying to achieve and to strive to do, to get God's approval. And what we did is I just started teaching about having, you know, inviting the Holy Spirit, that he's a person and he longs to have a relationship with us. And all we did is I asked them to open their hands and we said, come Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. And so the Holy Spirit started to minister to them. There was tears and people came forward and we prayed for them. And a lot of them have never ever, have ever anybody told them that they are loved, they belong, and they are wanted. And that's all God wanted to say. It was very, very simple. And so the Holy Spirit started to reveal to them who they are. And so we've had conversations with people over coffee after that, just hungry for more of God. Where they for so long have just built around, you know, religion, becoming legalistic. They realize there's something missing, and that's the Spirit of God. Your worth and value is determined by being a child of God. That's where it starts. It's not in the doing, it's in the being. Being a child of God. So what am I worth? So what am I worth? You are worth the Son of God, friends. You are worth the Son of God. Because it says here in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Isn't it amazing that the creator of the universe decided, you know what, you are valuable, and I'm going to give you my best. I'm going to give you my Son, my only Son, as a gift to you. That's how valuable we are. I want you to see this. I want you to get it this morning. That you are valuable. As we belong to him, that's how he sees us. Sometimes we feel worthless. But he's saying you are valuable. You are worth so much that I will give my Son. I want to give this. This is my gift to you. That we can have a relationship with him. And so for us, it was a time just getting back to basics. How many of you have learned this scripture way back in Sunday school? It was like drilled into me. I remember that teacher, she would make us just say it over and over and over. Because she knew the importance. She knew that we had to know who we are. And that we are worth something. That we are worth the Son of God. From slaves to sin, that Romans 8, verse 15. The Spirit you've received does not make you slaves, prisoners, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you've received brought about your adoption to sonship. I love this. This is what the Holy Spirit does. That Spirit of adoption. That we are adopted. This is what he says. He calls us sons. It's a change. You know, it happens here in our hearts, but sometimes it doesn't happen in our minds. Because we carry those thoughts, those thought patterns of who we are, those lies. So there needs to be a change in our thinking, how we think about ourselves. But this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is why it's so important that we teach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said this to them, you know, it's the most under-preached topic in churches today. The Holy Spirit has become like the Cinderella of the Trinity. It's always been the Father, Son, and Holy Bible. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit, as it was poured out on Pentecost, what happened there, that was the Spirit of adoption. God just revealed to them. The Spirit came upon them. Now the Spirit of God can come in you, and it can also come upon you. And that is one of my greatest privileges when I pray with people, and they just feel for that first time, I belong. I'm loved. They feel this peace. They feel this, oh, I don't have to strive. I don't have to earn my salvation. I don't have to go around looking at where do I belong, looking for acceptance. But our acceptance is found in God. Just before, some of you might know, Lynn, you might know this guy. This is just when we arrived here in Belfast. We did a bit of an outreach on campus. We did the God test. And I remember as we were sharing the God test, this guy came up to us. His name is Noxie. And he started to share about his life. And he asked us, what is this all about? What is this God test all about? Because we had a banner up. And so we started to share with him, go through the God test, asking some questions and just finding out, you know, what is his worldview and, you know, just talking about God, telling our story, the salt principle. Start a conversation, ask questions, listen, and then tell the story. So I just told him my story, what God has done in my life and how he's taken me from being literally like a slave into becoming a son. And so he started opening up to us about his life, and he showed me, you know, he was self-harming. He was cutting himself. And that previous night he wanted to commit suicide, and he was sleeping rough. He was on the streets. And it's just had a nightmare of a year, and just telling me how things have gone wrong in his life. And I just said, look, I'm going to pray for you. And I invited him to our service. I remember when he came to our service, you know, he teared up when we started praying to him. And right there, he decided to give his life to God. And so we have not seen Noxie for a couple of years. And I always wondered, where is this man? He must be here somewhere in the city. It was so encouraging just before, day before we went to the States. You know, I was walking with Andrew in the city, and Noxie, I just felt somebody came from behind. I looked around, it was Noxie. Gave me a good big fat bear hug, and I said, Noxie, how's things going? I've been thinking a lot about you. And he just looked at me and he said, I just want to start off by thanking you. I want to thank your church. Thank you, Every Nation, for what you've meant to me during that time. And, you know, he showed me, this is his new jacket, right? So he was sleeping rough and he had this jacket. He said, look, showed me the badge of the company. And he said, I'm working. I'm providing for my family. I'm not on the streets anymore. And guess what? I'm 2 years clean from taking drugs. I just want to thank you. I want to thank your church. Friends, I just felt it like jumping there, because that's what it's about. This is why we are here in this city. This is why God has called us to make a difference. We're not all about numbers. It's one person at a time. One person. And I'm just so thankful what God's going to do in this man's life. And I'm just praying for many of these Noxies around our city, all around, because in the same, and I've spent time with this guy. I sat down, I've asked questions, I've listened. And what I've heard was, my daddy wasn't there. I grew up without a father. I had this void in me. I just wanted to belong. I wanted to be part of something. And then I started doing these stuff to start filling this void, telling me that I belong. I'm part of this group or whatever. And he started taking drugs. But I believe now God is releasing a spirit of adoption in this city. And my desire is, as people come, and I've said this before, as people come into this church, that it would not be hard to find Jesus. As they come here, that they'll experience the living God. That God will do something in them. It's not through our words. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And so I believe that's what God's going to do as we proclaim Jesus. That's what the power of God does. It's what the Holy Spirit's going to do, is bring conviction, is bring change. He's going to transform people. Because it's not by might, nor by power, but by His Holy Spirit. And I love this promise. Nothing can separate us from God and His love. In Romans 8, 38, 39. These are scriptures that I've written down. These are scriptures that I have memorized, things that I had to get into my heart, get into that void. And I want to encourage you. Here's a good one. I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or high or depth or any other thing that is created. Friends, nothing can separate us from the love of God. I've experienced this in the darkest times and moments of my life. Nothing can separate. There's things that will try to separate, try to hinder you, to distract you. But it's that love of God. It's that love of God, knowing that He loves us, that we are worthy, we belong. And that's what I love about Him. And as I shared this morning, the seal of the Holy Spirit confirms that we are His. Ephesians 1:13, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. I love that. That seal, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He just puts a seal on our hearts that confirms that we are His. And that's what He wants to do. I believe that's what He wants to do today in this meeting. Before we go, we're going to go into a time of communion just in a couple of minutes. But I just want you to close your eyes for a moment, and I want to pray and really invite the Holy Spirit. Because I believe some of us just need to be reminded this morning who we are and whose we are. And this has been my encouragement. It's been my encouragement to people over the last 6 weeks. And because I've seen orphans, I've seen people drift from different places, going to different churches and meetings, and they're just looking and searching. And I believe what the Father desires is for us to belong to a spiritual family. Because He says, Psalm 68 verse 6, God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. That's my prayer, that He'll lead people out that are imprisoned. Because I believe the enemy's been lying to us. He's been lying to you. He's been lying to people out there about their identity. And I feel like there's people that's lonely. Some of you here this morning, you might feel lonely. You might feel abandoned. You feel like, you know, have God forsaken me? Is He still mindful of me? And there's things that's trying to come in and separate you in your relationships. Not just with your family, but with Him, with God, the Father. And what He's doing this morning is He's just calling us back. And He's just saying to you that my grace is sufficient. You're still my son. You're still my daughter. And He loves you. because He loves you, because He loves you, and that you are worthy. And so He's just saying, come as you are. That you might have messed up and you might have done something, and He's just saying, come. As we just ask Him, maybe you just need to repent about things that you've done or said, or but just come. Let Him come back to the Father, and let Him. My prayer is that you'll just feel His embrace this morning as we turn our eyes upon Him. So Holy Spirit, we thank You that You are here. I thank You for Your presence. Father God, I thank You for Jesus. I thank You for giving Your Son to us. That we are worthy to be called sons and daughters. I thank You that You've given Your best to us so that we can have a relationship with You. Thank You that You send Your Son to restore that relationship, to remove that veil that wanted to keep us separated. So I thank You. I thank You for just touching our hearts. And I pray, Lord God, for people here this morning that might carry father wounds, that might carry wounds of over these years of just being hurt and feeling abandoned. And I just pray that You'll just give them such a sense of belonging. I ask, Holy Spirit, that You'll come. That You just will release a spirit of adoption over us this morning. We also pray, not just for us, but just for the city. As we just look across the city, we pray that You will release a spirit of adoption over Belfast. That we will see these prisoners come out singing and accepting You as their Lord and Savior. That they'll have a relationship with You. And understand, Lord, why You've taken me on that drive around Evansville in that police car. You've shown me what's happening in the lives of people and what's happening in the prison. That You desire to see these people that is bound, that is locked up behind doors, to set them free. And I thank You, Lord, as I read that scripture, I declare it over this church, Isaiah 61, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Because You have anointed us to preach good news, to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, to comfort all those who mourn in this city, God. And I pray, Lord, that there'll be a seriousness about this call, about this calling, God. It will truly be so aware about the people that is in our cities that need to hear about You, that need to hear this message that they belong, and that they need to hear the truth, because we need know the truth sets free, God, and we don't want people to be imprisoned. You came to give life, and we pray that You'll help us to be a life-giving church. A source of hope for people in this city, we pray in Jesus' mighty name.